You get out and you create a crowd. Yeah. And you push back on them. Yeah. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. As always, behind the mic, wearing the tinfoil hat and still unvaccinated, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week, and I just have to tell everybody, thank you so much for listening to this show. This show is just a labor of love for me, and you guys make it possible for me to want to get behind this mic every single week and spill out my guts to you. So that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to talk about the alien races that are visiting our planet. We're going to talk about, and I need to continue to talk about this because I still, to this day, to this week, I still get a ton of emails saying, Tom, I think you're really overthinking this whole government door-to-door thing. Our government wouldn't do that. Our government wouldn't be a communist, a socialist government. I'm telling you. I'm going to continue to give you facts and give you examples of the oppression that this government is bestowing on us, is just forcing down our throats. This is not the normal functions of a free people, of a free government. This is the workings of a government that wants to control you, that wants power, and will do anything to get it. So it is up to me, and it's up to you, my listeners, to continue to talk to people and say, hey, this is not normal. Listen to this. Tell me, does that seem normal to you? Some people, you're never going to convince until the government comes in and takes them into a concentration camp. And even then, they're going to go, hey, this is pretty nice here. I can learn to like this. My government says I should. But we have to start convincing people. So I'm going to continue harping on this until I get people realizing that this is not normal. But before we get into the show, I just want to give you a glimpse into my last week, which was amazing. And it's been a while since I've said that. And my wife and my youngest son left Sunday morning to go camping up in Petoskey, Michigan. Now, for those of you who don't live in Michigan, hold out your right hand, look at it, the thumb's pointing to your right. At the very, very top, just to the left, and at the very top of the mitten is Petoskey. It's a long drive. So she left there to go camping for a week on Sunday morning. My daughter and her boyfriend left Sunday afternoon. That left my son and I here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He had Wednesday off. So after work on Wednesday, I came home, rushed home, picked him up, and we headed out the door about 6:15, 6:30-ish. To head the 3.5-hour drive up to visit the family and spend time with them camping. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Until we're on the road and realize we both had the same phone. We both had the same carrier. Our mobile data doesn't work. I don't have a map on me. I get a hold of my wife, and she says, oh, my signal's not real good up here at the campground. I say, well, I need directions. I can't get directions. And she says, well, okay, you do this. I had my son basically record it as I was talking to her over the Bluetooth on the phone. Perfect. All right, we'll see you in a couple hours. So we got in that area, in the general vicinity of Petoskey, Michigan, about 10 o'clock. And for the next 2 hours, we went around literally in circles. She tells us to get off at this one exit here. I get off at Perfect, take a left. She says, now go find Shire Road. I find Shire Road. I turn down Shire Road, and I'm like, did you go down a dirt road? No, why? This is a dirt road. It is pitch black at this point when I talk to her. I can't see anything other than what's in front of me. I said, I don't think this is the way. She says, just keep going. So we drive 2 miles down this ungodly horrible dirt road, and of course it starts raining. Then we come to a T in the road. I can go right or I can go left. Well, what's the name of the road? Durham Road. I don't have a Durham Road on my map. I'm looking at Durham Road. Well, you sure you didn't miss a road somewhere? I said, there is no road. So I turned around, jumped back on I-75, and went about 20 miles north of where we got off in the first place. She says, yes, that's the exit. Get off the exit, take a left. You're going to go through this town, which we did. And then you're going to come up to this street light, and you're going to want to take a left. That's M68. Hey, look, that's M68. Perfect. We're going to make it there, no problem. We're driving down M68. We're driving down M68. And she says, you haven't turned yet? And I'm like, no. Where are you? I said, I have no idea. Hold on. We're in Wolverine. Wolverine? You've went 20 miles south of where you were when you got off the first exit. And I'm like, oh, my God. So we find our way back to I-75 and get off that exit again and do the same thing. But this time, and keep in mind at this time, it is pitch black. It is pouring cats and dogs. I can't see in the dark real well, nor am I. I'm pretty much blind in the rain. I'm relying on Andrew to find these street signs. And we're driving down 68, and all of a sudden there's this really itty-bitty little sign that says, hey, M68 goes this way if you want to go west. I'm like, oh, my God. So we take her right there. So I'm driving. She's like, okay, now I know where you are. So you go down this street, and you're going to find Rosalda or something like that. I didn't see Rosalda. We're driving, and I'm like, I think we're lost again. So we're still driving south, I think, at this point. And we come up to this portion of the road. I can see there's something like a big ditch or maybe even a river to the left of me. I can see it reflecting off of my lights. And I'm like, okay, I'm by a river or something. She said, I don't know where you are. And Andrew is next to me. He's like, man, those are some white stones. That's a weird looking road. And then he's like, why are those stones moving? The road was covered in frogs. Just covered in frogs. And I hit that, and I can just poof, 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 poof. I can just hear the tires just crushing these frogs. And I go to stop, and I'm kind of swerving a little bit because I'm sliding on frogs I'm crushing. And I'm like, bleh. So I turn around, kill a bunch of other frogs, go back up, and there's Rosalda. So we finally get there. So my 3.5-hour trip took about 5.5 hours. That's the worst part of the trip. We wake up the next morning, and it poured all night. I mean, absolutely all night. The next morning, which is Thursday morning, my daughter's got to leave that day because she has to work Friday. She says, let's go to Mackinac Island. And I'm like, okay, but at this point, it's still not raining. I mean, there's rain in the area, but it's not raining where we are. And we're like, okay, we'll go. It's like a 28-minute drive to the ferries to get to Mackinac Island. We get on the ferry, we take our bikes. So now, for those of you who don't know, Mackinac Island is an island just to, I believe, the west. Yes, it's to the east, just to the east of the Mackinac Bridge. The only way to get there is by ferry. Now, when you get to this island, it's like stepping back in time. I told my son when I got there, I'm like, holy cow. Either I had a past life in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where this was the norm, or I was born in the wrong decade, because that felt so natural to me. You see, on Mackinac Island, there are no motorized vehicles except for emergency vehicles. The police are walking on foot everywhere. The only motorized vehicle I saw was an ambulance. If you want to get around on Mackinac Island, and it's an 8-mile island, you're walking, you're biking, or there are a ton of horse-drawn carriages everywhere. It is amazing. You walk off of the ferry and it just opens up into a bustling downtown area that looks straight out of the late 1800s, early 1900s. Wood buildings, awnings on them. It just felt like home, and it was so nice to not hear motorized vehicles going by. Cars blaring their music, the hoofs hitting the pavement, just felt so natural. It felt so great. It was relaxing. And then the smell hits you. I mean, there's a guy that his sole job is to walk up and down Main Street and sweep up the horse poop. I mean, it's not a great job, but you know what? It's a job, and I'm sure it pays well, because I'm sure there's not a lot of people that would do that job. But I did learn something. I'm still not recovered from COVID, but and getting better. Again, to maneuver around this island, you're either walking or you're riding a bike. There's no other alternative unless you want to ride in a carriage, but that costs money, and everything on the island, as you can imagine, costs double of what it should cost. But it did not damper the fun we had. We had a great time, and it just proved that, you know, I can beat this thing. I was tired, I was exhausted, I was struggling to breathe at times, but you know what? It's a lot better than what it was before. But my whole point of this whole segment here is Friday morning, it was absolutely beautiful. It was bright and sunny. We were out on the beach early, and I had on my Stuff of Nightmares podcast shirt. If you are a friend on the Paranormal Patriot Facebook page or on my personal Facebook page, you probably saw the picture. And let me tell you, the veil has been lifted. I purposely do not put my face out on social media for one of two reasons. First, I don't think I have a face for social media. And second, I kind of want to keep a low profile. I mean, this show, let's be honest, nowadays especially, this show is pretty controversial. And the less exposure I get, in my eyes, the better. So I try to keep a low profile. But, you know, I'm on the beach and I'm wearing this shirt. And I told my youngest, I said, hey, I'm going to stand over here. Take a picture of me with this shirt on. I'm going to send it to Rick. Rick Ness is the host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. So took the picture. You know, if you haven't seen it, it's me on the beach with the bay in the background. Beautiful sunny day. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to post this on the Paranormal Patriot on my page. Send it to Rick. Put it on the Stuff of Nightmares podcast page. The response was phenomenal. I got more feedback on that than any show I've ever done. Apparently, not a lot of you realize what I look like, apparently. So I'm getting emails, I'm getting responses saying, is that really you, Tom? I said, yep, that's me. I never would have guessed that's what you look like. That's me. Bald head, beard, graying beard, you know, not the thinnest guy in the world. But that's who I am. And, you know, Rick was genuinely thankful. He thanked me over and over. And in his response on his post, he said, hey, thank you so much. Thanks for everything you do for all of us newbies. And that is, bringing a long story to the end, that is what I wanted to talk about in this first part of the segment. If you have a podcast, if you have a book, if you have an event, or anything you would love to promote on this show, do it. Do it, and I will put it on there for free. Rick Ness is a perfect example. Harvey Gott, Jim and Mike Talk, Jay Miles, they are the perfect examples of people that I am willing to help for free. Because when I first started this show back in 2013, my show wasn't doing really well. And I think back then it was maybe a bi-monthly or bi-weekly or maybe even a monthly show. I don't even know at this point. But it took a while to get some legs under it, I guess. And after the first couple shows, I'm like, I need to network. I need to get out and get my name out and, you know, promo. So I would send all these podcasts, because I started joining all these podcast pages, and I'd say, hey, you know, I'm just starting out. I don't have much of an audience, but I would love to do a cross promotion. I'll promote your show on my show. You promote my show on your show, and I'll do it for no charge for you. And no, your show's not big enough. I'm not wasting my time on that. And at that point, I told myself, you know what? If this show starts to really take off, I'm going to help those guys that are just starting out. And the show took off. And it took off and it's still taking off. But I still want to help those quote-unquote newbies. I want to help the people that just are starting out and trying to get their legs under and trying to get some footing, to gain some footing, to get that show off and running. You know, I don't know how many of you listen to the Stuff of Nightmares, Jim and Mike Talk, when Harvey was doing shows, or Vanishing Gates when they were doing shows. I don't know how many of you were listening, but Rick has said, you know, I've noticed an uptick when you promote my show. So first off, thank you for supporting the shows I'm promoting. I appreciate that. And if you haven't listened to the Stuff of Nightmares, please do. It's a great podcast. But I want to help, because I didn't get that help. And it was a struggle for me for the longest time to get that footing. I've got that footing, and I'm chugging along now. I don't want to be that guy that says, oh no, your show's a waste of my time. Trust me, there's not a show that's a waste of my time. Now, let's be honest. If you're out here with a liberal show that is talking from the left, I'm probably not going to support it and probably not going to promote it on this show because that's not what my audience would listen to. But Jim and Mike Talk, it's a music podcast. Who doesn't like music? The Stuff of Nightmares, True Crime, Paranormal, Golden, Harvey Gotz, just... Harvey Gotz is, I don't even know what you'd classify that. It's just an awesome show. In Vanishing Gates, paranormal. In Everyday Stuff, true crime. It's golden. I know my listeners would like that. So go and listen to those shows. Rick, I appreciate the shirts. He sent me 2 shirts for free for just saying thank you for doing what you do for me. I don't do it because I want something in return. I want to do it because I want to help anybody that just needs that little help getting up and going. It's something I never got. I had to work hard for the audience I have every week on this show. If I can make somebody's life easier to help them with an audience, man, that's more satisfying, almost more satisfying than what I do here. I want to help you guys. If you have a show, if you have a podcast, if you have a book, if you have an event, if you have a promotion, anything, anything that you would love to promote on this show, send me a 30 to 1 minute clip of audio and I'll play it. And I'll play it on multiple shows and it will be free. It costs you nothing. Email me. Say, Tom, this is the name of my show. This is what it's about. And attach the clip. I'll play it. Send it to ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. I am here to help you guys. I want to help you guys. It's free. What do you got to lose? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And something you really should know about. The 9 or 10 species of aliens that we know have or are visiting this planet. Sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I don't know what to say. Tell me how you feel the same. Cause I don't even know your name. I know I want to. I saw you sitting there across the room. Doing things beautiful too. Finally my eyes met you. You came over.
Okay, so I know some of you listen to this show strictly for the paranormal. I know some of you listen to this show strictly for the political aspects of it. There are a few of you that can meld and are interested in both. And those, I love those listeners because they're always happy. You know, I always get emails. Well, you got to do more paranormal. Tom, you need to do more political. Come on. It's almost impossible to keep everybody happy. I'm doing the best I can, so hey, let's roll with it. But regardless of whether or not you're into the paranormal, whether or not you believe in UFOs, listen, our government has basically stated UFOs exist. They're here. We don't know what they are. Well, I've been researching and studying in investigating UFOs since the 1990s, over 30 years. I am pretty much convinced that there are extraterrestrial beings visiting this planet. Now, what I don't know, and I will never claim to know, I don't know if they're from another planet. I don't know if they're from another dimension. I don't know if they're from another universe or another timeline or a time frame. They are here. Now, the general rule of thumb is that these extraterrestrial visitors are from another planet. Now, if you look into the sky, we look up and, you know, when we were in Petoskey, it was really, really clear out and there's really not a lot of light pollution over at the state park. And, you know, we're seeing satellites flying overhead. We're seeing, I mean, too many stars to count. And just think, that is just the minute, the most minute window in the world that we are seeing. How many stars are out there? How many stars have planets around them? And how many planets are hospitable to life? The number's infinitesimal. There is no way to know for certain, but we, I guarantee you, are not the only planet with life. Life as we know it. Is there another human race out there? I don't know. But there are alien life forms that can live in a colder environment. There are alien life forms that can breathe carbon dioxide instead of oxygen. We are not the only thing out there. I want to go over, I've done a lot of research these last 2 weeks on the number in species of aliens that are thought to be visiting this planet. And what I did, and you can go to 50 different websites and you can go to read 50 different books and talk to 50 different people about what species and what aliens are visiting this planet and get 50 different answers. So what I did is out of all the research I did these past 2 weeks, I broke it down and this website said this type, this said another type, this one said the first type. Basically, I took all of the research I had, compiled numbers as to what are the most common names in all of this research and broke it down into 10. Does it mean this is the end-all be-all list? No, but these are the most common known alien species that are visiting this planet. Now, are they visiting it for good or are they visiting it to take us over? That's the question. But I would be remiss to not start the list off with what we call the grays. The grays are sometimes tall, taller than most humans, 6, 7, 8, 9 feet long or tall. Some are short, 3 to 4 feet. But they're gray, and they have the one common feature is that big, gray, bulbous head with no nose and a slit for a mouth, but those two huge almond eyes, almond-shaped eyes, the black eyes. The bodies are tall and thin and spindly. There's not a lot of meat on those bones, essentially, if they even have bones. But the grays are said to come from the star system known as Zeta Reticuli. Now, it's a star system in the southern celestial hemisphere about 40 light years away. So, literally, in terms of space mileage, they're pretty close. Now, most people think of the grays as the bad guys. The grays are the most common of the alien species that are reported. If you are being abducted by an alien, 99% of the time, it's the grays doing the abducting. It is believed that the reason that the grays are doing these abductions is to generate human alien clones. The reason for that being that the grays have lost the ability to naturally reproduce. So every gray you see is a genetic clone of one another. That's why they look so similar. So there are many reports from abductees that state that semen or eggs were taken from them involuntarily, or they were shown human gray hybrids. So in theory, there is a new species of alien, which is the human gray hybrid. Again, all up for speculation, but again, the grays are the most common alien that is visiting this Earth. I truly believe there is a gray alien out there. There's also an alien called the Sasani. The Sasani are a hybrid that was developed from, we'll mention them a little bit, the reptilians and the grays. Apparently, before the grays started hybriding or doing the hybrid technology with alien and humans, they were doing it with the reptilians and themselves. And again, they found that they had mutated themselves to the point that they could not reproduce naturally. So they have to produce either clones. Well, they are apparently tired of making clones of themselves and they want to genetically create another race. The Sasani was the first example or first effort to reproduce another genetically modified species. And that species, again, was from the grays and the reptilians. The characteristics of the Sasani are the big black eyes that the grays have. They are on the shorter stature, but they do have that reptilian scaly skin. That's the big difference. That's where it comes into. The Sasani have a stronger connection with their higher selves and are believed to be where humans will be one day. Right now, the Sasani are millennia ahead of us, and they are, I wouldn't call it stuck in the third dimension, but they've ascended past the third dimension. Now, it's hard to pinpoint if the Sasani are a regular alien occurrence on this planet because they bear such a striking resemblance to the grays. You see those big black eyes, those big almond-shaped black eyes, and what are you going to think? You're going to think it's a gray. You're not going to look at the skin texture. You're not going to look at the stature so much. They're going to be a little bit more stout than the grays. They're a Sasani. They are a hybrid creation between the reptilians and the grays. The next, just forgot that part. They really are neutral. They really don't, according to people who have contacted them, they really don't have a care in the world of what happens to us. So they're really neutral. They're like Sweden here. So the next set of aliens that are visiting this planet, that would be the Arcturians. And they're believed to inhabit the Milky Way. And they are believed to be the most ancient and the wisest of all alien life forms visiting this planet. It is believed that because of the age of this race of Arcturians, they can take many forms. But the main race of Arcturians stand about 5 feet tall with green skin and large eyes that can apparently see through you. Now, the Arcturians have developed their mind as opposed to developing their body. So they're smaller in stature, but they are wise. They're the wisest alien race in the galaxy. Thankfully for us, they're also the most kind and peace-loving and loving beings in the galaxy. They have the human race's best interest in mind. They are trying to prepare us for a move into the next dimension. We live in a third-dimensional, three-dimensional world. There are many, many other dimensions above us, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, that as we ascend in our spirituality, in our knowledge, we move to higher dimensions where we can astral project, lucid dream, remote view. I mean, there's no doubt that the government knows that remote viewing is a fact. It is real. They are tapping into those other dimensions. The Arcturians are trying to prevent other species from destroying us and helping us, for lack of a better word, evolve into that other dimension. So the next race, the Nordics. Now the Nordics are, if you were walking down the street, you may see a Nordic and not even know it. They are blonde with brilliant blue eyes, and they're roughly 6 feet tall and fine-toned. There are reports that grays have been seen on the same craft as the Nordics. There's a theory going around that the grays are actually the Nordics' minions, maybe? I'm not a believer in that. I do know the Nordics, every single encounter with the Nordics has been a positive one. They are here for the benefit of humankind. But again, You could be walking down the street, and if you see a tall, blonde, blue-haired, fine-toned individual, male or female, you may be looking at a Nordic alien. Another race of aliens, the Pleiadians. They come from a bright star cluster known as the Pleiades. And they are one of the beings in the Milky Way. They are the one beings that most closely resemble humans. They are thought to be peaceful. They are here for our benefit. And I want you to know that when I say they're here for our benefit, there are other races, and we're going to get to them, that are not here for our benefit. They are here to either destroy us, make us their slaves, or we're a zoo, or whatever. They have no intention of helping humankind at all. The races, aside from the Greys, and there are a lot of people that say the Greys are good. The Greys are the most misunderstood. They're the most common of the aliens, but they're the most misunderstood. There's a large portion that said the Greys are bad. They're just bad. They're out for the worst of humankind. And there are some that say that the Greys are here to help us. They are doing experiments on us to help prevent our extinction. It's not really happening, but you know, I would like to think if the Greys were doing experiments on us, they would bestow on us the cure to cancer, the cure for all of these diseases that kill people. But so it is not. But the Pleiadians, the major difference between us in them is that they are particularly sensitive to the psychic energies that are constantly streaming across the universe. Now, what this means is the best way of reaching out to one of them would be to concentrate on sending psychic messages out. In other words, if you really want to meet up with a Pleiadian, then you have to meditate on it, or you have to get in touch with your psychic powers. Everybody on this planet has some form of psychic powers. Whether or not we use them is another question. We as humans are much more gifted than we believe. It's just we have to know what our gifts are and use them. Now, another race, and this is the race of beings that is generally thought of as being the first race that is going to make contact with this planet. The Yael are known to be kind. They are kind and loving, but they've also been touted as the best beings to make first contact with us due to their advanced and harmonious relationship with technology. Now, we here on Earth, whenever a new invention comes out, we want to weaponize it. And then we're going to feed the hungry second. But the Yael know that we are not the friendliest beings in the universe. So they're taking time to meet us. Now, the Yael, if you look at the pictures from the accounts of the people that have met the Yael, the first response you would think of is it's the Greys. Now, if you look at the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, those are not Greys that you are seeing in there. The short, childlike, kind of big head, black eyes, but the black eyes are not the big almond-shaped eyes of the Greys. They've got, looks like eyelids and eye coverings over them. That is the Yael. The Roswell. Now, a lot of people think that the Roswell video where they had that quote-unquote alien, where they were doing the alien autopsy from the Roswell film, that is coming out to, the media was pushing that's not true. Well, it's coming out that may be true, that may be an authentic video. That is a Yael. The Yael are childlike in stature. They have no hair. They have no nose. They have a slit for a mouth. They have the black eyes, but the biggest difference is the eyes have like eyelids over them, so they're not the big, bulbous, almond-shaped black eyes you see with the Greys. Again, they are peace-loving. They are advanced with technology. They are apparently taking their time to make their presence known because they know how we are. We are a shoot-first, ask-questions-later species. they are trying, and I think this is why disclosure is coming. Kind of here, but, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, they didn't say that UFOs exist. They didn't know what they are. Let me tell you, UFOs were proven. I got a fly buzzing around me, so if you hear a buzzing, that's what it is. But the government proved and said UFOs exist. Yes, they don't know what they are. So when contact takes place, and it's going to take place, you can bet that the Yael are going to be the species, the alien race, that are going to make first contact. And it's strictly because of their love and knowledge of technology. Because we, as a species, as a human race, have a love with technology. The next, and you may have heard this, if you've heard me talk about Planet Nine or Nibiru, the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki, the theory behind the Anunnaki is they came to Earth from Nibiru, which is Planet X, to mine for Earth's precious metals, most importantly gold. Well, they developed the human being as a slave laborer. We humans procreated. We ended up reproducing and reproducing rapidly, apparently like rabbits. And we rebelled. So the Anunnaki, they came to this planet to basically strip it of its minerals. They created the human being as slave laborers. The human beings reproduced. They expanded. They grew. Their population grew, and they rebelled against the Anunnaki. The story is they went back to their planet Nibiru, which has a very, very elliptical orbit, about 36,000 years it takes to revolve around the sun or orbit around the sun. The next turnaround, they're going to come back. They're already coming back. The presence of the Anunnaki has been noted in texts that date back to the Mesopotamian cultures. They are believed to be one of the first alien, or the first alien race, to visit this planet. Well, that would make sense if they created us. The Anunnaki, some believe, are the fallen angels in the Bible. If you read some of the Bible verses, it says the Nephilim, and I think I pronounced that right. Some people say that the Nephilim are actually the Anunnaki, and they procreated with the human race. And that led to giants. Now, giants did exist. And I think I still have that in my archives. I'll have to go back, and it would be in the Wayback Machine, the Giants show, but it was a very well-received show. Do some research on giants in North America, in Utah. I believe it was Lovelock Cave. You'll be amazed. But anyway, not much has been said about their appearance, other than they were essentially, in the way we look at things, giants. But you have to ask yourself this. Why do we value gold so much? It's shiny. It doesn't produce anything of value like healing the sick or produce energy per se. But why, as a race or a species, do we desire gold, silver so much? There is a rumor or a legend out there that the human race desires gold, and it's always gold. From the time human records began, gold was it. If you had gold, you had everything. And the legend states that the human race desires gold because the Anunnaki desired gold. I mean, think about it. How many metals are out there? Zinc, copper, silver, gold. What has been the one metal that has always stood the test of time, has never been worth nothing? That's gold. Why do we value gold so much? It may be because those who created us, the Anunnaki, desired gold. I don't know. It's an interesting theory. But moving on, we've got three more races. And this race here is probably, well, let's just say, if you've ever looked at a dragon or ever thought of a dragon, this might be where the legend of the dragon came from. And they are the Alpha Draconians. Now, the Alpha Draconians are said to stand at least 22 feet tall. and they are made up of pure reptilian muscle. They resemble dinosaurs or, as I mentioned before, dragons. And this could be, you know, the dragons could have been a offshoot, a subspecies of the Alpha Draconians. Nobody knows. But the Alpha Draconians are still said to visit this planet. As you can imagine, they are very aggressive, and they are hell-bent to take back this planet. Now, what is stopping the Alpha Draconians from taking over this planet are the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, the Nordics, the alien races that are here to protect us. They do not have the knowledge. They don't have the wisdom and I don't even know what you call it, the ascension to know how to beat them. They are said to be more like we are, a very warlike species, a very warlike race that conquers through strength and power. And they have their sights set on Earth. Now, according to the stories and the contactees, the other alien races are here to protect us. And they are stronger than them because they don't have the power, but they have the mind. They have the mysticism. I don't even know what you'd call it. But they are able to control them. So, prior to the human beings being here, there was said to be a race of intelligent beings who lived here, and it's thought to be one of the alien races still in contact with Earth. And we know them as just simply the reptilians. Now, if you read The Sun or a lot of these quote-unquote tabloids, you will find, you know, most of our political leaders and the Queen and the royal family in England, they're reptilians. If you're old enough to remember, in the 80s, there was a series out on television called V. And what it was reptilians who were able to disguise themselves as humans. And that's what these reptilians are said to be. Now, when they're not in their human form, they're scaly and they stand about the size of a human. It is said that they were driven underground by the Anunnaki. And that is where they reside today, moving throughout a network of complex underground tunnels. Now, these reptilians are said to be aggressive and will kill a human on sight. Now, some of you may say, well, that explains the king and queen and royal family in England and most of the politicians in Washington. But again, I don't discount reptilians being... Listen, I am a firm believer in the Hollow Earth theory. I think there may be, and I'm not talking about a world inside of this, Kong, Skull Island. I don't know if that exists, but I believe there is a vast network of underground tunnels that lead deep into the inner Earth, and it opens up a little bit. Do I believe there's an inner sun? No. But I believe there may be portions of this planet that house species of animals, beings that we have no idea. Could it be that one of these species was driven underground by the Anunnaki, and that's the reptilians, and some of them have come up and decided to run for political office, and they won? Oh, that's uplifting. So the last one, and this is the most obscure out of all of these I've talked about, but it's the Nomos. And the reason I put these on here is that there are some alien species that will only come in contact with certain tribes that inhabit this planet. And the reason I put the Nomos on there, there's not a good description of their appearance. Nobody knows a lot about them, but the reason I did is the Dogons. The Dogon tribe, it's a tribe indigenous to Mali in North Africa. And to this day, the Dogons have said that the Nomos hailed from the brightest star in our night sky, which is Sirius. Why is that important? Well, Dogon legend and Dogon culture has talked about the Nomos for millennia, since the beginning of recorded history. The key thing here is the Dogons knew centuries before modern science caught up with the theory. But for the longest time, we looked at the Sirius star as a singular star. While the Dogons said there's also another star that orbits that. And on top of that, they knew how long it took, what Sirius B, as we now call it, how long it took to go around Sirius A. Until modern technology came around, which is in the 1900s. Keep in mind, the Dogons were saying this millennium prior to this, that there's another star up there, and it rotates around the main Sirius star this long. We thought that was all legend. That was all part of the Dogon culture. Until our technology allowed us to see into that star, over to that star, and found out, wow, there is another star there. Wow. They were right on how long it takes Sirius B to revolve or orbit around Sirius A. How do you know that? The Dogons claim that the Nomos came from the sky and only had direct contact with them. And they gave them this information. Now, from what I can gather, and I don't know if this is true, the pictures and the descriptions that I can portray in my head of the Nomos is if you ever had a Sega Genesis and you played the game Earthworm Jim, that's what they look like. It's like an earthworm with arms and legs. That's the best way I can describe it. But the reason I put that on there is because there is absolutely no way that the Dogon tribe could have known that there is a second star rotating around Sirius A. And not only did they know there was a second star, they knew how long the orbit took to complete a revolution around that. Something we didn't know for millennia later. So those are the list of supposed aliens visiting our planet. Take it for what it is. But the reason I gave you this, and you may not be into the paranormal, but trust me, this will affect you because contact is going to be coming sooner than later. I firmly, firmly believe that. And when contact officially comes, when the Yael come and make first contact with us, they are going to open up our eyes to who is exactly visiting us, what they want, what they're here for, and what we need to do. And it's going to change your life forever. I don't want a War of the Worlds, 1938, people jumping off of buildings type situation. I want you to be prepared because it's coming. I truly believe that. I want you to be prepared. That's why I did that segment. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on it, let me know. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Hit me up on the Paranormal Patriot Facebook page, or you can leave a message at 989-607-4722. Now, before we go, I'm going to go over a real, real quick story here that I got, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that I didn't get a chance to talk about. But according to NASA, the moon is going to wobble in 2030. Why is that bad? Now, as you know, the moon orbits the Earth, and in conjunction with the sun, they line up in ways to influence how gravity acts on our planet. Now, this phenomenon is what causes ocean tides to wax and wane. And just this past weekend, during the night, oh my gosh, you want to talk about relaxing? When the tide was up, we were so close to the bay, you could hear the waves breaking on the shore. Oh my gosh, if you have never fallen asleep to that, you owe it to yourself to do it. But according to NASA, by 2030, the ebb and flow of the tide is going to be intensified by a moon, quote-unquote, wobble. Now, what does that mean? It means people living on coastal cities may be dealing with severe floods every day or two. The reason for it is this natural yet amplified lunar cycle will be coupled with higher sea levels that, of course, NASA is saying is caused by global warming. Personally, I'm reading a book right now that talks about how, and I've talked about this numerous times, how the magnetic poles are changing. And it is affecting our weather. It's only natural that this weather, our weather, is going to be affected on where the North and South Poles are, because it changes the jet stream. It changes the flow of the oceans. That's why we have so much ice melt. That's why the weather is different. It's natural. There's nothing we can do to stop the poles from moving. I mean, the Tampa airport has had to reconfigure its GPS, essentially, because it was so far off, because magnetic north is moving so far south. Our poles are about to flip, and I'm going to do another show about that, because I really truly believe that it's coming, and it's coming soon. So I want you all to be prepared. But apparently by 2030, NASA just predicts out of the blue that the Earth is going to wobble, and it's going to cause massive flooding on coastal cities. So if you live in a coastal city, I guess get out. I don't know how they're getting this knowledge. I don't know how they're projecting or predicting this knowledge, because in my lifetime, in all of history's lifetime, we've never seen a quote-unquote wobble like that from the moon. It's more fear propaganda. And this is the governments of the world just filling us with fear. Look, we're creating global warming, and it's rising the sea levels. And because of that, because the Earth's going to wobble in 2030, we're all going to die. It's not that, everybody. There's nothing we can do. Listen, by 2030, the coastal cities may be underwater. It's not going to be from a wobble in the moon. It's not going to be from global warming. It's going to be from changing weather patterns, because our north and south poles, our magnetic poles, are going to flip. And it's, you know, before I said, well, it's just going to be pretty much a weather phenomenon. There's more to it. I'm learning more and more every day about this, because this is something that I'm taking very seriously. So stay listening to the show at a future date. I'm going to talk about that, and we're going to get into greater detail and greater depth as to how much the North and South Poles are moving and really what's going to happen. It's not going to be the cataclysmic event as a, you know, a planetary flip, but our magnetic protection, you know, our force field per se, is weakening, and it's allowing more solar radiation, solar winds, to come and penetrate onto us. There are going to be areas of this planet that are going to be inhabitable because of how weak the magnetic field is. But that's a story, and that's a segment for another show. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk briefly about more and more government control. It's growing. You need to be aware. Sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Hate to see you crying. But what did he do? What did he say? What kind of did he do today? We know that he's lying. So what did he paint to make this okay? Still feel the same as yesterday. You keep doing the same things, but your eyes are looking so hazy. And I'm tired of watching you fighting. Can't you see that he ain't trying?
Crazy. So as the host of the show, I am becoming impervious to the ridicule and the taunts and the, you know, the horrible names I'm being called, because it's just a part of what I do. But I need to keep telling everybody about what is happening in this country. I did a show a while back, and the part one of my show on 2030 is the best rated, most listened to show that the Paranormal Patriot has ever done. I'm going to do a new one because Agenda 2030. And if you don't know what it is, you have to talk about it. Maybe I'll do it next week. I think I will. I think that's going to be a good topic for next week because it's very appropriate. If you don't know what it is, you have to listen to next week's show. But it's happening. The governments, not only of this planet, of this world, they're I don't even know what you call it. They are in a complete power-hungry mode where it's almost to the point where they don't even care whether or not they know that you know that they are manipulating elections. And listen, I went on record as saying this election in 2020 was fraudulent. It was rigged. And I got ridiculed. I still hold to my belief that this is rigged. And we are starting to find out Maricopa County, 74,000 basically invalid votes. They weren't sent in on time. They just magically appeared. They weren't signed. They were illegitimate votes just in one county in Arizona. And that one county is enough to give Donald Trump Arizona. Then you move to Fulton County in Georgia. 44, I believe it is, 44,000 right now, and they're still working on it. Illegitimate votes. The votes just came out of nowhere. They just came out of nowhere, and Donald Trump's votes vanished. Fulton County, 44,000 is enough to give Donald Trump Georgia. We all know about Antrim County in Michigan. It's ground zero for the fraud that came. And again, I cannot for the life of me understand. And this is where the Democrats go wrong. It's go big or go home for the Democrats. When they cheat, they're going to go crazy. Stupid fly. Get out of here. Anyway, when they cheat, they're going to do it all over. Antrim County, 7,000 votes flipped over to Donald Trump. Our election here in Michigan was quote-unquote certified with known errors, missing ballots, ballots that showed up. They stopped counting at 10 o'clock, and then ballots just started coming in. And, you know, if you stop counting at 10 o'clock, but yet Biden is all of a sudden taking the lead, you didn't stop counting. There's fraud. You're going to find Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia. Those are just a few of the states where it was huge. If they actually sat down and audited this election, the problem is most of those are Democrat states, so they're not going to audit their own election because they know they're going to get caught. It's coming to light how much these politicians are willing to do to get and stay in power. They are rigging elections. This is something that happens in a third world country. And you can say, oh, Tom, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. Go sit down and talk with Alex Jones. It's happening. You can sit here and you can tell me I'm nuts, I'm a lunatic, whatever. Go for it. I've heard it all before. I've been called every name in the book. Apparently, I'm not, in some circles, I'm no longer called the paranormal patriot. I'm called the paranormal Nazi. Because patriot now means Nazi. When did becoming a patriot, when did loving your country and wanting a free country turn you into a Nazi? Don't know. But apparently, if you call yourself a patriot, you called yourself a Nazi. It's just the way it is, people. I'm sorry. But I'm used to it. I've dealt with it. I've grown a thick skin to it because I know I am right. I know history will prove that I and you listening and agreeing with me on this show, I know we will be on the right side of history. This is how Venezuela started. A rigged election. And then inflation came. And then their ability, their right to carry guns and protect themselves was vanished. Then all hell broke loose, essentially. Because once you take the ability of the average citizen to defend themselves away from them, there's nothing they can do. They can't rise up. You know, we may need F-15s and nukes to rise up, according to Joe Biden, but you know what? So be it. There's only two ways on the path we're going right now. There's only two ways that this can be resolved. The first one is we get enough people and we get enough proof that that election was rigged. We either have another election or we deal with 4 years of oppressive socialist government and then have a real election where they're monitoring the results. Because remember, in Detroit, in the TFC Center, which was where they were counting all the votes for Wayne County, they kicked all the Republicans out. All the Republicans, all of the monitors, they kicked out. They boarded up the windows. You tell me that that is a normal function for a free election. It's not. They're finding out in Maricopa County that it would only take 10 minutes to hack into those Dominion machines to change votes from Trump to Biden. Biden received 9 million more votes than Obama. And you believe that? You really, truly believe that? I've had conversations about this very topic with friends and family members that voted for Biden. And every one of them said, "You don't know how many people hated Trump because of his tweets." Really? Because I would like to think, and maybe I'm wrong, I would like to think that people are more intelligent and more thick-skinned than to have just mean tweets affect who they'd vote for. When they, I guarantee you, were living a prosperous life. Gas was below $2 a gallon. Prices on groceries, anything you buy, were great. Ask your Biden friends. Ask the people who voted for Biden how they feel right now. I asked one of my friends, and you know what he said? "Oh, just wait. It's going to come around. This is Trump's economy right here." No, this isn't Trump's economy. You can't destroy the economy that was just cruising along until COVID. And then a month into, what's his name, Biden's presidency, all hell breaks loose. This is all on them. You look at the unemployment rate. Let's give it up for the unemployment agencies right now, because they're being honest. The unemployment rate continues to stay extremely high. Go walk around or drive around your town and see how many help wanted signs are out there. They're all over. It doesn't matter where you are in America, where you are across the world. Help wanted signs are over, especially here in America, because we're giving people money to sit on their ass. And what it is, it's the government conditioning you to just rely on their money. Here, you don't need to work. And what it's doing is it's putting more and more and more people out of work. You know why? Because that restaurant can't stay open because they're not staffed. That factory can't stay open because they can't get anybody to work, or they can't get the parts. The shortages around this country are ridiculous. Chicken shortage? There's chickens all over. In my neighborhood, which is in a suburban neighborhood, I know three families that are raising chickens right now. There's a meat shortage. On my way to Petoskey, I saw probably 1,000 cows. And apparently, we still have a change shortage. I went to the store the other day, and they wouldn't accept cash. Never in a million years did I ever think I would live to see the day where a dollar, a Federal Reserve note dollar, was not accepted as currency. This is all planned. And then you take into the fact that they are going door to door to door to check on your vaccine status. There are again, these are rumors, but there are rumors that there are 9 military bases across the country that are being set up as quarantine centers. And what do you think those are for? Do you think those are for the illegal immigrants that are running across the border that are actually being caught every now and then that are testing positive for COVID? No. Those are for the Americans that refuse to get the COVID-19 vaccination. They are going to put us into detention centers. Remember years ago when Walmarts were closing left and right and not reopening, and nobody could figure out why, and then the rumors started coming out that they're turning into FEMA detention centers. It's not so crazy now. I'm telling you, there is a concerted effort to demonize those of us who have not been vaccinated. It doesn't matter if we've had COVID and we have the antibodies and we're immune to it. It doesn't matter. We haven't taken the government-mandated vaccine. And keep in mind this, everybody. Very, 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 very shortly, within, I would say, a month, the FDA is going to officially approve, I believe it's the Merck vaccine, the Merck COVID-19 vaccine. They are going to officially approve it, removing its emergency declaration from it. And again, this is only a year with known very serious side effects, and they're becoming more and more common. But they're going to approve it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and anybody that knows differently, but I've talked to numerous people about this, once they approve it, the government has, quote unquote, the legal authority to mandate everyone get vaccinated. That is a scary thought. That is beyond scary. A vaccine, quote unquote, vaccine that hasn't been around for any more than a year is now going to be given free pass, going to be saying, hey, the FDA is going to say it's good, we're good to go, when we know there are issues with this vaccine. There are a lot of people that it does not react to well. And there are some that say, well, you know, any vaccine is going to have reactions. Understood. But those vaccines have been tested for years and years and years. And the numbers of people who have reactions, honestly, are much lower than this COVID-19. And I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. If you have to entice your population to get this vaccine by giving them scholarships, by giving them million-dollar drawing opportunities, you don't have a pandemic. Come on. If this was a real pandemic, people would be lined up around the block to get this vaccine. People realize, more and more people, and listen, the government is their own worst enemy on this because they're pushing it so hard. They're going door to door. They're giving you free beer, free Krispy Kreme donuts, putting you in $1 million sweepstakes just to get this vaccine. People are getting, they're seeing through this. They're like, hold on. Why are they pushing this so hard? People are not stupid. People are very smart, and the people are really starting to wonder what the hell is going on. The government is their own worst enemy, to be honest with you. And if you're Jen Psaki or whoever's listening to this show as part of the government, here's a tip. Get off our backs. I believe if you got off of our backs, where every other commercial on TV or the radio is not, you have to get your COVID vaccine, you have to get your COVID vaccine. It's proven and it's safe. Which we all know it's not. Don't lie to us. Don't put our name into a sweepstakes just to get the COVID vaccine. Don't give us free beer. Don't give us a Krispy Kreme donut. Let us make the choice. You would have much better responses if you just left us the hell alone. Right now, people are rebelling because they see that something is not right. Something smells in Denmark right now. Because why is the government going to such great lengths to make sure people are getting an unproven, untested vaccine? People are scared. People don't understand what the hell's going on. Add into that the government just spending spending money like it's going out of style, knowing that inflation is the highest it's been since the 70s. Oh, by the way, that's when Jimmy Carter was in office, who's a Democrat. But they know that, and they don't care. They're going to continue to spend because they want you dependent on the government dollar. How many of you have opted out of this child care payment that you're going to get every month? This is ridiculous. This is the government telling its people, you can't do this by yourself. You need our help. And they're going to make it a way of life. Because once this is gone, who's going to be the politician that has the balls to stand up and say, we're taking this away? Because this child tax credit thing that people are going to get $300-$600, I don't even know how many hundreds of dollars every month. This is good until 2025. Who's going to be the politician that stands up and says, I want to take that off the books. I want to get rid of it. Basically, taking money out of people's pockets. Who's going to have the balls to do that? Besides me, because I would absolutely do that. But if you value your political career, you won't do that. So this is on the books. This is going to stay around. 2025. That's 4 years from now. And anybody that does vote to get rid of it is going to be ostracized, is going to be chastised, is going to be thrown over the coals because they don't care about people. They don't care about the little person. They just care about big business and they care about the lobbyists. I can guarantee you that's the attack. And it's going to be very persuasive. So mark my words, this child tax credit thing that you're going to get every month and it's going to go back against you, people don't realize come January, when the taxes come due, or April, you're going to get your taxes you're going to get your W-2 in January. Your taxes are due in April. They don't realize that this isn't free. This is taken off of your child tax credit. So all these people that are getting thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars back every year, they're going to be in for a rude awakening because that ain't going to happen. Because they're already going to have got their thousands and thousands of dollars, and they're going to have spent it on TVs, on new iPhones, and who else knows what. Nothing for their family. Nothing to help the quote-unquote child. I stupidly did not opt out of it. I've got to opt out of it. So the first check is going to be coming to me. That first check is going into the bank. It's going to make about 2 cents of interest, apparently, until my taxes are due. And if I have to pay, I have to pay. Whatever, I'm going to use that money. Normally, I don't have to pay. Usually, I break even, I think. I don't know. But people are stupid. I mean, honestly, the millennials are stupid. The millennials are the ones that are like, bring it on. Give me more money. Give me more money. I'm not going to work. Please give me more money on my unemployment. You're going to give me more money? I'm going to have a kid. Because that's more money. And that's what it's going to turn into. People are going to have kids for money. You think I'm crazy? This is how the millennials and the Gen Z, this is how their mind thinks. How can I get more money without doing anything? Where the Gen X, the boomers, quote unquote, their mind frame is and was, I got to work harder to make a better life for my family. I am afraid. Well, I'm terrified for the future of America, but I don't know what is going to happen with the future of our workforce. I mean, nobody's going into trades. Nobody's going into anything where they have to use their hands because that's hard work. I'm not doing that. This country is in for a lot of hurt. And I hate to say it, but there's two ways we're getting out of this. The first one is we prove that there was election fraud. And that's a hard sell. That is going to be an extremely hard sell because you already have, quote unquote, Facebook fact checkers that come out and say, well, this has not been proven that there's 74,000 illegitimate votes in Maricopa County. Oh, but it was proven, but you're going to have those Facebook fact checkers who apparently, for the Gen Zs, the millennials, that is the facts. You know, I went on Facebook the other day and I saw that. And I saw the Facebook fact checker come on. And I said, okay, I want to see your source. There was no source. There was no article. There was nothing to disprove what that person was saying about there are 74,000 illegitimate votes for Biden in Maricopa County alone. I mean, you can just throw that on anything on Facebook. But you notice they only do it when it contradicts something from the left. Anything pro-COVID or pro-liberal never, ever, ever gets fact-checked. I mean, it's not even funny anymore. I stood up for Facebook because they're, quote-unquote, a private entity, which they're not anymore because they are publicly traded on the stock market. But, you know, you don't have to go on Facebook if you don't like it. But they are at the point now where they are, you know, it's almost treasonous. It really is. And this is what you have to worry about. If you're the CEO of Disney, if you're the CEO of Starbucks, if you're the CEO of Coca-Cola or any of these radical left companies, your day is coming. Your day is coming when you will have to answer. Why did you manipulate these people? Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, why did you control the media? Jeff Bezos, Twitter, why did you censor? I mean, the sitting president of the United States was censored off of social media. If that isn't a huge red flag of censorship, I don't know what is. But they'll let BLM and Antifa on there and spout their hate, but Donald Trump is talking about a peaceful protest, and that's considered inciting a riot. You know, that's scary. We are living in scary, scary times. And again, it's either we're going to prove that election was fraudulent and we revote. We basically have another election. The odds of that aren't good. Unfortunately, the other option is an uprising, because you're going to get to the point where there is a large, over half the majority of Americans that are going to have enough. They're going to go, I'm done. I'm not living like this. I'm not going to have my country be a socialist nation. I'm not going to starve my family. I'm not going to scavenge for food. I'm not going to be told what to drive, where to go, how to work, what to work, where I work. That's where we're going. I hate to say it. I don't want to be that guy. But there's two options. We have an illegitimate president in office right now. Believe me, don't believe me, the facts will come to light. We thought COVID was the biggest ruse in the history of mankind. And it may have been, because it was a worldwide effort to control the population. You know, the New World Order was in control of this. That 2020 election was the biggest ruse in American history. It takes the Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, and puts it to shame, because it will end up killing more people than all of those combined. It's a scary time to be in America, ladies and gentlemen. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Or 989-607-4722, 989-607-4722. Leave a message. I will play it on the show. Again, if you have anything you want to promote, podcast, event, book, anything, do it. It's free. It hurts no one. It benefits you. It's what I do to give back to all my podcasting partners. Sit back, relax, and open that mind. Let me know what you think of the show. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Remember to share the show, talk about the show, listen to the show. Do whatever you can to promote the show. Let's get this thing even farther than it already is. It's all on us. If we don't have a voice, we don't have a country. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.